Today on Maine Calling, pet names, how we choose them and why they matter. Whether it's a dog, cat, pig, or gecko, people love their pets. About two-thirds of Maine households have at least one pet. We're one of the top pet-owning states in the country. Pets are part of the family, and so it's natural that picking out a perfect pet's name is an important step. I'm Cindy Hahn. Today we're learning what pet names are popular, unusual, or funny, how people pick them, and how animals respond to their names. And we've already heard from hundreds of listeners about their beloved pets' names, including playful puns like Luke Skydogger and Chairman Meow, fun food names like kimchi and bacon, and Maine favorites Moxie, Chowda, and Katahdin. We're talking all about pet names as part of our series Name Calling on Maine Calling, coming right up.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and dedicated to creating a community where residents are free to pursue their passions, and Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum school recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. People care about their pets and about their pets' names. Some people put great thought into choosing just the right name, maybe based on how their pet looks or acts, or inspired by a movie character, a family member, or favorite food. Today we'll explore why a pet's name can help us interact and bond with them. This show is part of our series Name Calling on Maine Calling. Joining me, Dr. Ai Takeuchi is a veterinarian and co-medical director with Eastern Maine Emergency Veterinary Clinic. And Alex Francis is a veterinary assistant with the Bangor Humane Society. We invite you to join the conversation. Tell us about your pet and how you chose their name. We've already heard from so many of you on Facebook and seen a lot of delightful photos, but we welcome more, so go ahead and send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or you can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Dr. Takeuchi, we did a whole Maine Calling series on names last year. We talked about Maine town names and surnames and Wabanapagi place names, all kinds of things, but we didn't get to the one on pet names until now. And so when I posted a request on Facebook for people to share their pet names, we got hundreds of comments, so many wonderful names and stories and photos. So thank you to everyone who shared those. So I just wanted to turn to you, Dr. Takeuchi. When I asked you if you wanted to be on this panel, you got really excited about pet names too. What is it about naming a pet that is such a big deal and matters so much to people?
I think that pets are basically, you know, unconditional love in our lives, and something that captures their personality is really important to people. And then also it can be kind of like a way to express some of your other favorite things in life as well. So some of the themes that we might talk about, you know, a sailor might use nautical themes, or a movie buff might go off of a movie. It allows us to express ourselves in so many ways.
Right. But there's also some practical reasons that you need to name a pet. There's, you know, I mean, we'll go through that. Why are there reasons that naming a pet matters, whether it's for practical reasons or for sort of deeper philosophical reasons?
Well, I think they are beings. They need to be recognized. And as part of your family member, if you want a well-trained and loved pet, having that relationship and knowing that they're part of the family is important. You know, if they are going to learn commands, if they're going to have recall, if you have them off leash or even in the house, those are very, very important. And pets do identify with their names. When we say the wrong names, patients don't look at us. And when we say the right name, they make eye contact and look at us. And it is a basis of the relationship between animals and humans.
That's really interesting. I did see in some of the posts on Facebook that people picked a name because the pet responded to it. And do you, how does that work? Like they'd be saying a bunch of different names, and then when they said Maribel or whatever, then the pet turned and looked. Like, is there something to that?
I do think there is something to it. It could be a combination of the sound, the tone that you're using, but there are certain names or sounds that they're more responsive to. So there's probably a couple different reasons why that works. And I think maybe Alex too, in the shelter situation, sometimes you name an animal and they don't respond at all. They just ignore you. So you change
Yeah,
their name
Alex.
and they do respond.
Yeah, you're in a different situation than the way that you're around pets. So first tell us a little bit about what you do at Bangor Humane Society.
So I'm a veterinary assistant at the Bangor Humane Society. We do I help a lot with getting surgery ready, checking in animals with vaccines, and what comes along with that is naming animals. It's kind of funny seeing the other side of the coin because we are naming animals, and with us, they don't usually know their names until they go home, and then they're kind of called it over and over again. So I feel like with us, we kind of name them sometimes something silly sometimes, especially if we have like a group, like a big group that comes in. Like once we did kitchen appliances, so it was like microwave, whisk, spoon, fork, toaster oven, stuff like that. And obviously none of them learned their names and eventually went home and got permanent names. So sometimes they're just a little silly when they're with us.
You must run out of categories if you get down to kitchen appliances. What are some other categories of names you pick for a whole litter?
I mean, just like Dr. Takeuchi said, like themes such as Disney characters, mythological creatures. I have some listed that are space cat names, island names, birds, fish. We kind of have to expand a little bit, and we even have name jars at the front of the building for the public to help name animals as well. And I have a couple of my favorites written down that we can talk about, but
Yeah, tell us now. I gotta know. What are some of your favorites?
Some of my favorite cat names were Shrimp Scampi. Thought that was pretty fun, kind of silly. We also have, they specifically said a black cat name, which was Special Agent Dale Cooper. And then we have something more food related again, like chickpea. I feel like a lot of the times cats get food names, and then dogs get more like people names, if that makes sense.
That's interesting.
Some non-people names we have, though. Well, Kermit is a people name, but kind of like the frog for a dog. Kermit. We have Baskin, like Baskin Robbins. And then we also have a little silly one, Chief Pretty Pup, which I thought was pretty cute. So those are some of my favorites from the jars.
Well, since we're already on, I was going to hold off on getting to the favorites, but now I have to hear some of yours, Dr. Takeuchi, because you sent me a huge list, and some of them are just so fun. Some are those really super long names, which you yourself pick for your own pets. Is that right?
Well, we chose a shorter name for my current dog. His name was supposed to be Angus, and we shortened it to Gus. But one day when I was telling him not to do something, I combined his name with my husband's name and called him Gustafer. My husband's name is Christopher. So now he's Gustafer a lot. And that was just a slip of the tongue there. And he also stomps on us a lot. So we've been calling him the Stomp Stomp at night because he likes to come check on us at night to make sure we're alive, I think. He just looks at us, like licks our face, and then goes away. So it's his way of checking on us. But when it's at 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., we call it the Stomp Stomp attack. And now sometimes we just yell Stomp Stomp, and he literally comes stomping over. So names can have a funny way to change. I think it's really funny when I have to say things like Lady Meow Meow is next in the lobby. I had a patient named Microwave Oven Biscuit last year, and I had to yell that in the lobby, and it just seems very random when I have to do things like that. Or even things like, is Chicken Nuggets Mom here? I'm looking for Asparagus's Mom or Dad. It just brings a smile to my face when I have to see these things. And it's also funny in the hospital when we had a dog named Kevin, and he was being very naughty. And we were like, Kevin, if you lick your IV catheter one more time, you're going to get the cone of shame. And it's just brings a lot of laughter in sometimes tense environments. When this goofy yellow lab's name is a man's name, or you have a pug named Yoda, or who looks like Yoda. It just brings a smile to our face. And I think I had a Romeo fluffy bottom pants or something like that recently, and I had to say the whole name the first time, calling the parents, and they were cracking up because I was trying to remember the order of everything. So
My
those are
gosh.
some of my favorites.
So that's prompting so many questions for me. One is a lot of people do end up with a nickname. They might pick some long, crazy sounding name and it ends up being Gus or whatever, Max. And so how is that for the pet? They just adapt to, even if you've got like four nicknames, they just figure it out.
I think so. I think the repetition of association, that's how a lot of young children and animals learn cues and names. Just the repetition is good. And I think my previous dog knew he was in trouble when his name was Xander. But if I said his full name, Xander Pander, Alexander Slobbermander, what are you doing? He knew I was very serious about what was happening. And he would just give me the I'm guilty eyes. So I do think they pick up that this name is used when my owner is really happy with me, or wow, this name is always used when she found that chewed up toy. So I do think they're very smart and intuitive in that way.
Just like kids, that's really something. Alex, is there what I was just saying about when you have to call out the name, right? I mean, how much of a consideration should that be in naming a dog or a cat or any animal, I guess, but especially a dog you might be taking out to the park and you gotta yell their name, right? So there's one, the embarrassment factor, but also just that it's something recognizable or easy to shout out. Does that matter?
I think it depends on the person, really, like who's in charge of the dog. If you can give a stern, come here, nugget, and they listen, then that works. But if, you're too scared to yell nugget across the dog park, then it's going to be a little harder to get your dog back, as well. So.
So,
And
yeah,
I
but at
also
least not have it
jump
similar. Yes, go ahead.
in. I also think right now there's a lot of Bellas and Lunas and Max. So if you are going to be a downtown dog park goer, or your dog is going to be going to the doggy daycare, maybe a less common name is better because
That's a good
you might
point.
yell Max and have five dogs run to you.
That's a great point, and that's actually a good segue because on the line now we have Sophie Keem. She's editor-in-chief of Nameberry. It's a national baby naming resource. Thanks for calling, Sophie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we had you last time on Maine Calling last year when we were doing this naming series and we talked about human baby names. I know that's your thing, but you also do keep some track of pet names. So do they follow trends the same way human names do?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny. There are even these historical pet name trends that we can track now. Like in the 70s and 80s, everyone was naming their pets Brandy and Whiskey, and those are not so cool anymore. But we track, some of the most popular dog and cat names. So we have top 50 for girls and boys, dogs and cats on our website.
So, do you have that broken down at all for Maine?
Unfortunately, we don't have Maine specific pet trends, but I think, nationally, unlike baby names, pet names tend to, be a little bit more evenly dispersed. Although I will say, I mean, Angus, I remember the last time I was on, we were talking about Angus being a disproportionately popular baby name in Maine. And I think that probably holds true for pets as well, because I know a couple of people in Maine who have cats named Angus.
Oh
So
yeah,
I
and
think that it's anecdotal evidence.
I think we talked about this with babies as well. Cooper or Flag also showing up now, babies and pets, I think. But what, well, nationally
Absolutely.
then, just what are some of the top few that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, for dogs, the top names are Luna, Bella, and Daisy for girls, Charlie, Max, and Milo for boys. And it's pretty similar for cats, Luna, Lily, and Bella for girls, Milo, Leo, and Oliver for cats. But, you know, a lot of these trends that your guests were talking about here are very present on the popularity charts. So there's food names like Pepper and Olive. A lot of Japanese foods are rising in popularity. So think like mochi and miso. Mythology names are really big right now for pets. So Freya and Athena for girls. We see Zeus, Odin, Thor for boys. And then these just kind of, you know, nicknamey vintage style names are always going to be popular because they're really easy, like Millie, Rosie, Lainey. Lainey's a big one that's really rising across the US for girl pets. And Teddy, Ollie, Gus, Winston, those sorts of vintage revivals for boys.
But you said certain things are just old school and don't come back. Like, do people still name their
No,
dogs Rover, or, is that completely out?
Rover's out. I don't think I've ever met a dog named Rover, and it certainly have not seen it on the popularity charts in the past, you know, decade plus that I've been doing this. You know, I would say a newer trend or something that we're seeing more are nature names, which again, this kind of mimics what we're seeing with babies, but more tree names for girls. Girl pets are coming up. So Willow's very popular, but we're seeing Maple and Oakley, you know, oak inspired for girls. And for boys, we see a lot of animal names. So Bear, Moose, Goose, those kind of like quirky, funny animal names for boy dogs and cats are always, they're very fun.
That's totally fun. You have a very fun job. So
I
thank
love it.
you. Yeah, thank you, Sophie. Sophie Keem is with the Baby Name Database. It's called NameBerry. And so talking about some of those categories, like the nature ones, that is a big main thing as well, right? So the animals like moose and bear, do you see a lot of that?
We see a lot of moose, bear. I've seen a lot of rivers recently. So, and the Oceania as well. But we do see a ton of bear, moose, and moxie, I think, are very common for the Maine based names.
How about you, Alex? Have you run across a lot of those?
We've done a lot of like nature names recently or in the past couple years. So like trees, you know, like aspen, like you said, oak, stuff like that. We've done nature. I feel like it depends on the season too. We do a lot of like holiday themed names, like whatever's closest. So if it's like Easter's coming up, maybe we'll do, or it's springtime, you know, we'll do spring and Cadbury for, you know, candy and stuff like that. So.
Well, I'm going to
We
take a
do a
moment
lot.
since, as I mentioned, we got so many on Facebook and I want to do some of it justice. So lots of them were for Maine-based names. Christopher sent in a photo of Katahdin, the German Shepherd. He said she's named after Maine's mighty mountain and that I return home to climb every year. And so that's a nice one. Carter says, meet Hartley and Malay, a Maine Coon cat brother and sister. Born in the shadow of Katahdin. Since they are Mainers through and through, we chose to name them after famous Maine artists. Hartley is named for Marsden Hartley, and Millay is named after Edna St. Vincent Millay. So that's named for famous Mainers. And then Kimberly's cat is Moxie, but it's Moxanne when she's naughty. So, like you said, there's always the full name when they're in trouble. And then Sonia said, our dog is named Ossipee. We call her Ossie. I'm a single parent of a single kid. My kid just loves animals. And during the pandemic, she really was lonely and wanted a dog. So we looked all over. We got a message from a shelter that a family was sheltering a dog named Luna, and we wanted her. But then I guess the family wish they could have kept Luna, but someone was allergic. So anyway, through all this saga of them giving up the dog Luna, they decided to rename the dog. And because that family lived on Ossipee Tree Road, they named the dog Ossipee. So that's very sweet. And another one from MJ with a picture of Chowdah, who was five. Chowdah, Chowdah, right? Chowdah was five when we rescued him, and he came to us as Chowder, but to make him a Mena, they turned it to Chowdah. So there's that. Lots of good ones. Oh, actually, there's another one here from email from Karen. When our elderly cat died some years ago, my husband wasn't enthused about getting another. Knowing his love for the Maine rivers, I started talking about going to the shelter to find a cat to name Kennebec. How could he resist? Our current cats are Sebasticook and Messalonsky. These are the rivers of our hometown of Waterville, so when it's time for a new cat, we'll have to expand our range. I'm thinking Androscoggin or Penobscot. So totally Maine-based names. We've got so much more to talk about. We do need to take a quick break. We will be right back. Our topic today is pet names. Make sure to check out Maine Calling's Facebook page if you want to see some of the great ones people have sent in. This is Maine Calling. We will be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. What goes into choosing a pet name? And are there certain names to avoid? We're hearing about categories of pet names, including Maine-inspired names. My guests are both exposed to a lot of interesting pet names. Alex Francis is a veterinary assistant with the Bangor Humane Society, and Dr. I. Takeuchi is co-medical director with Eastern Maine Emergency Veterinary Clinic. Share your comments and questions. Add to the hundreds of listeners who have shared the names and photos of their cats, dogs, rabbits, pigs, hedgehogs, chickens. Every one of them is a gem. Email us at talk@mainpublic.org or comment on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Let's go to a caller now. This is Paul calling from Portland. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I have a comment and a question. The comment is about our two cats. We named them after their breed, which are Russian Blues. This was just before the war with Ukraine really started getting going. That eliminated a lot of options early, but we ended up with Malevich after the artist and Ruble after the troubled Russian currency. The question for the panel is about dog names, actually. I've heard from some people that dog names that start with S might confuse dogs for certain common commands like sit and stay. Is there any truth to that?
Sam Call 105.
Oh, there you go. Is that a thing? I mean, I did hear you don't want things that sound like no and sound like sit, but is the S itself a problem?
No, I've never seen that. I think it's it may be pet dependent. It's usually if the ending is the same. So like no and Joe. So at the end, if you're very quick to say the front part. So usually the S part doesn't have an issue, but if your dog is like a high achiever and wants to really help you out or listen to you really well, the S might jump them to sit down, but I don't see a negative to that. I guess it's not like jump where you don't want them to jump on people. So I think that would be okay.
So do they, that's interesting. I mean, is an S as a harder sound to hear? Is it more the way you say it?
I think it's the way that you say it. And in recent training, they do recommend like hand signals too, because sometimes dogs can be overwhelmed with seeing things, hearing things. So if you can say the command and have a hand gesture, my dog will sometimes listen better to the hand gesture because he's tuned into my body more than what I'm saying sometimes when we're out in public. So I think reinforcement is more important in commands. And you know, if you have there's some general hand signals that are used. There are some dogs that are trained in German for working dogs, and sometimes they won't listen to me because my German is not good enough, I guess, but I can get away with the hand signals sometimes.
Oh, how interesting. That's great. Well, thanks for that question, Paul. And Alex, working at the shelter, we heard some mention of people who changed the name of what the pet's name was. So you must encounter, is that most common? Do people stick with the kitchen appliance name that you gave the dog or cat?
I think it really, you know, just varies person to person. I think typically people do change the name just because, you know, they're taking in the animal into their life and they want it to relate to something probably in their life, you know, like their favorite soup or something like that. Yeah.
Do you get to hear many of those conversations when people are deciding on a new name?
Sometimes, a lot of the times when like an animal comes in for like a booster, like if they just need a distemper booster, we'll ask like, did you change the name? And then they'll tell us like, no, we kept Sprinkle, or, you know, yes, we changed it to XYZ. And then usually the staff member will go and tell everyone else they run into that so-and-so was named something different, and it's cute.
And when you're naming them, even if it's a whole bunch of them at once, is there any degree to which their personality or the way they look plays into it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sometimes, too, like the story that they have plays into it. Like we had a cat come in with really bad like ear mites and some injuries on his ear. And he just had like a really crusty top of his head. So we named him Pizza Crust.
Oh.
So that's one where it kind of relates to his story that we do.
That's awesome. Well, we have an email from Bill. This is my colleague here and now host and producer Bill Johnson sent us an email. He said, I wanted to share our cat's name, Conway Kitty, named for Conway Twitty. He's at the vet in Poland today on an IV drip. So wish our little old man well. Mm-hmm. And we do wish Conway Kitty all the best. Good luck today. So that's a music themed one. And I know that's a very common thing for people to use for inspiration for pet names. And I think, did you have some that you wanted to mention that are music related?
Well, one is a little bit funny. I know a dog named Gizmo because he's named after the Little Mermaid song where she sings about gadgets and gizmos aplenty. Mm-hmm. So we see those, and then depending on what's popular, we may see some more music themes, but I'm kind of blanking on those. I've been seeing a lot of sports themes ones recently with Cooper, Flag. All the Gronks and Bradys are really old pets now, and all the kittens are Coopers and Flags. So you can kind of tell how old a patient is by what's going on in like culture right now as well.
Cooper's all over the place, babies and pets. So some music related ones that came in for us are, let's see, Christine posted a picture of her ginger tabby cat and said, this is Sunshine. I like to have theme songs for my cat so I can sing to them. He was inspired by Sunshine on My Shoulders and then You Are My Sunshine. I have come up with a few others over the years. So using songs for the names is a nice way. Laura on Facebook posted a photo and said, this is Mumford, named after Mumford and Sons. He is a gentleman of the road, like his namesake. And as a tuxedo cat, he's always dressed for the occasion. He has tiny black spots on his legs that I always said were his music notes. And the only thing that ever calmed him down as a kitten was the music of Mumford and Sons. He will be turning 15 years old on Sunday. So happy birthday to Mumford. There are other themes I wanted to see if you could talk about food. We've mentioned that. Food is probably one of the big ones. And I know some people will say, I don't want to name my animal after a food, but there just seem to be so many good choices there. And I, as Sophie Keem, who called in, said the Japanese food names, I noticed that too when I saw the popular names. Mm-hmm. That what are some that you've heard?
So I actually had a cat named Sushi in vet school, and my roommate went on after we graduated. She got a miso and a wasabi. We see a lot of mochi, but I've also seen a lot of just Japanese words too. But I would say mochi, wasabi, miso, and sushi are the top ones that we see. I think some of the... I haven't seen a kimchi in person yet, but I think the Korean foods are coming too.
So I have a kitten kimchi.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Liz on Facebook said kimchi is spicy and stinky in many ways. Her cat, I think. So there you go. And then also on Facebook, a photo, Colby writes, "This is bacon. Who doesn't love bacon?" And then Trisha writes, "I named my dog Guinness because he was pint-sized." So love that. Okay, we're gonna fly through some of these other themes because it's really fun. Famous people, we talked about the sports, the athletes, lots of animals inspired by the names of famous people. I think we had somebody send in a whole bunch of chicken names. I'm gonna have to find that. Let's see. Actually, while I'm looking for that, you already said there were some famous people animals you wanted to mention.
We had Cindy Clawford. I guess it's not a real person, but we had Captain Cat Sparrow and a tuxedo cat named Michael Scott. I guess they're not real people, but it was super fun to see those. And then we had a hedgehog named Stabitha Christie as well, which is fantastic.
That's great. Well, here's the Glory on Facebook has many, many chickens. And some of the names are Patty Hearst, Penny Lane, Miss Honey, Lady Bird Johnson, Roadrunner, B. Arthur, and Sade. That doesn't strike me as a chicken name, but those are great. And also, Alan on Facebook has a cockatoo, or had a cockatoo, that was named Zubin Mehta. And Jenna on Facebook has a black cat named Purgood Marshall, after the Supreme Court Justice. And Mary replied to that post saying, "Well, he should meet my grand cat, Ruth Bader Ginsburg." too good. Oh, wait, I gotta add one more. Dominique's dog is Napoleon Bonaparte Bojangles. He's got a wicked swagger and has conquered all of our hearts. So share yours if you have a famous person, dog or cat or other animal. At sports figures again. Oh yeah, we do have Nancy on Facebook saying our lab is Brady after Tom Brady. You know what I noticed, and you probably, Alex, you might have noticed this too, but video games, you know, we know that movies and books and all that are inspiration for pet names, but have you named any animals after video games?
I think we've had some like Zelda characters or Pokemon. We've definitely done like Pokemon before.
Oh, then there's Squirtle, Infinite.
Charizard, the classics, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
and Pikachu. Bowser, like Bowser and Mario.
Yeah, or the Mario Kart we've done too.
Popular.
That's great. Well, for books and movies, I think that's probably one of the most common things. Deb posted a photo of Dobby after the house elf in Harry Potter, and her dog really does look like Dobby. Katie has Luke Skywalker. She's a Star Wars fan. And Christine has a cat named, another Star Wars one. 3PO is the name, like C-3PO from Star Wars. My son named him when he was 7 and going through his Star Wars phase. Alex, you said you've done whole Disney character litters. Yeah. So what are some of the ones?
Yes, multiple.
What are some of those names?
Disney princesses, you know, we've done Disney villains, we've done a movie theme like Up or Monsters, Inc. We've done so many, we had to like pause ourselves from doing so many Disney because we just were running out of Disney and we were doing it over and over again, and that kind of thing. So
that is so fun. Our board operator, my colleague Jane, is saying, first of all, on the food theme, she said, "I know a dog named Butter Chicken." So again, I can't get it through that. Like, if it sounds edible and it's your pet, that just sounds a little funny to me. But she also said that, let's see, there's a dog in my sister's neighborhood named Don Cheadle. He's kind of a local celebrity, and no one ever shortens his name to Don. He is always Don Cheadle. back to that idea of shortening names and nicknames. Tell us more about you have some great examples, that in your own life and other dogs that have great nicknames based on longer names.
Yeah. So we had a cat, we named her Mika, but when she came, she was about the size of a mouse. I got her from the shelter, so she became Mika Mouse. And then we realized she didn't know how to cover her poops in the litter box, and she was very stinky. So her middle name became Stinka. So she became Mika Stinka Mouse, Mika S. Mouse, for the rest of her life. And the kids never knew why we called her Mika S. Mouse, but that stuck, and you'd hear them screaming that, you know, throughout the house looking for her. So sometimes names do evolve. And we also, my husband is a surgeon, so our first dog was named after a surgical tool called a Bovi. We wanted him to have an electric personality, which he did not have, but his name was Bovi, but he used to yawn like a dinosaur, so his name turned into Bovasaurus. So things kind of evolve, and owners will tell us, you know, my dog's name says it's Katie on here, but we've been calling her baby girl for so long, I don't think she knows her name is Katie anymore. So when we're checking in patients, a lot of times they'll write down all their nicknames for us while they're in hospital so that they know, just so we can give more comfort to the patients.
Oh, that's nice. And speaking of the medical names, it surprised me that people will name their pets after medicines, right?
So after COVID, we had a bunch of dogs and cats named COVID, and it was a little bit of PTSD for me. But we've met Pax recently for Paxil.
Oh my gosh.
So they, you know, I guess maybe he's a therapy cat, and there's been Lexi for Lexapro. So sometimes people name them after medications, and I guess that could be a new category for Alex at the Humane Society, medication names.
Have you done that yet? Yeah, Alex, write that down.
Not a bad idea. We'll have to write that down. Happy,
bring happiness in cat form.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break again. We're talking about pet names. Our phone number is 800-399-3566. And after the break, we'll go to Lucy calling from Bangor. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. People get creative when it comes to their pet names. It's a chance to pick something that's meaningful, playful, or one of a kind. Joining me are Dr. Ai Takeuchi with Eastern Maine Emergency Veterinary Clinic, and Alex Francis is with Bangor Humane Society. Share your comments and questions. Email us at talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or you can call 1-800-399-3566. And if you do go to Maine Calling's Facebook page today, you can see some of the many wonderful photos and pet names that people have shared. Thank you for those. Let's go now to the phones. Lucy's calling from Bangor. Hi, Lucy. Go ahead.
Hi. Several years ago, my employer's wife came in with this leash about 12 feet long with this black dust mop dog on the end about the size of a cat. And I said, what's its name? And she says, Killer. And then another one, a friend of mine recently lost a cat named Ferdinand. And I thought that was really good. Ferdinand.
Like the bull.
Anyway, thank you for your time. This is a fun show.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those. That's great, Lucy. With human names, you know, it's interesting that Charlie, for example, is such a common dog name, mm-hmm. but then you don't hear, it's weird, like my husband's name is Paul. Like you don't hear dogs named Paul, right? There's just certain names. I don't know why that is. Alex, do you have any thoughts on what names that are human make dog names and others don't?
I feel like the fancier, the more common almost sometimes. Like Brandon, you don't hear a lot sometimes. Or we've had Johnny, stuff like that. People names. We've named a cat, like a group of litter, a litter of kittens after like staff members before.
Oh, just that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there some cat out there with your name?
Yeah. Hopefully they changed it by now. Something more original.
Well, back to changing it. There are people with questions about that. So someone wanted to know, this is an email from Sandy. Why do shelters rename animals? And when an animal is given a new name, how long does it take to learn its new name? So it's both ways, right? If they come to you, you rename them. Is that correct?
If they come in with a name, we don't change the name unless it's like for some reason inappropriate, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. or offensive. But if they come in and their name is like Kitty Princess and they're a surrender, they're going to stay Kitty Princess until they go home to their new family. But if they come in as a stray or they're abandoned somewhere and we don't know their name, it's kind of, you know, free game at that point to name it. Whatever fits.
And do you have any sense of how long it takes an animal to learn its new name?
I think it depends on the frequency that the new owner is using the name. Sometimes it's within a couple days. The really in tune animals will catch on in just a couple of days. But if they're timid or really anxious or nervous, it can take upwards of 4 to 6 months for it to stick. And so it is a little bit of personality dependent and confidence based in the pet itself.
Okay, great. Let's see. It's so many comments and questions coming in. Email from Jamie. When I bought my first house in the 1990s, I was living alone and had been a big fan of the Wallace and Gromit claymation short movies. So my first dog I named Gromit. He ended up a 100-pound black standard poodle and went through many fun hairdos, none of the typical poodle do's. He was known for his big dreadlocks tail. Fun. I bet there's a lot of grommets out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see that a lot.
There's quite a few. And speaking of hairstyles, there's a little dog named, it's spelled Crystal, but we have to say Crystal. And she has a floofy tail and her mom dyes it different colors. She'll come in pink or purple or rainbow. And I do think pets are like an extension of the owner's personality sometimes. But Crystal has her own personality and she loves to show off her pink tail.
Yeah, she knows, right? Oh, that's great. So let's see. Allison is calling in from the road. Hi, Allison. What did you want to talk about?
Hello.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Hello? Hi. Yeah. I am an Outlander fan, big time, and I have an orange or red-haired Maine Coon cat whose name is James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Frazier. Of course, we don't call him Jamie. We just call him Frazier.
Oh, that's great.
And he's 26 pounds. And 48 inches from toe to tail.
And how did you pick that particular character name?
Well, I had just gone to the Isle of Skye and with my kids, and I'm a real big Outlander fan, and because he was a red-haired cat, a ginger cat, and he was such a thug and a little bit crazy, I thought, perfect. He's going to be James Alexander Malcolm Mackenzie Frazier after Jamie.
Thank you, Allison, for calling in. That's wonderful. And we have similar ones. Let's see. Here, somebody said, we have Queen Beatrix Brimigan Knowles, one of Kennebec County. And if she likes you, you may call her BB. And her brother in heaven was King Arthur Wayne Knowles, the first of Kennebec County. And he allowed everyone to call him Artie, Arthulia, Arturo, or Big Brother. So thank you for that. Let's see what else we can share here that others have sent in. We have, along those lines, this is an email from Elin. My canine companion's name is Miss Tootsie Blossom. She was a street urchin in Texas before coming to live happily on Vinyl Haven. And then an email from Rob. We are blessed with labs here in Maine. We tend to gravitate towards celestial bodies or events. Luna Noir is a black lab. Stormy is a black lab. And most recently, Cassiopeia, after the constellation named for the vain mythological queen. And yes, our silver lab fits that description. So a lot of astronomical names too, right? You said that Luna is really, really popular. That sounds like that's the most popular.
Mm-hmm. It's very popular.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the understanding of language. I mean, a parrot, for example, the way they, you know, obviously can mimic human speech, and then dogs responding to what you're saying to them. I read that a dog can understand 150 words, for example. So mm-hmm. How much is, I mean, that's going beyond the names, but how much are they understanding, you think?
I think that they understand a lot more than we give them credit for. If you see how pets act around like the elderly or small children, sometimes they're able to figure out what they need before the adults in the room can. So I think they're not going just off of body language itself, but body language and probably some sense and changes in smell. You know, I'm sure they can smell stress or fear on us. So I think repetition, you know, they do learn from similar to like a 2 or 3 year old. They keep hearing the same word associated with something. They keep learning it. And there's also that new kind of, I'm not as familiar, but there's dogs who have buttons that say words and they'll say like water or go out or ball. And you can pair those words and then that dog can talk back to you by pushing those buttons. And there's probably a lot deeper understanding on their part than we're giving them credit for.
You're nodding, Alex. Is that your take too from what you've observed?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think besides just listening, you know, animals are always kind of reading your body language too. And maybe that's the first thing they're noticing. Yeah.
Is it difficult for you dealing with, it's not like your own familiar pet that you know how to communicate with. How do you deal with that at the shelter?
I think with any animal, you know, a calm approach is always best. You don't want to go up to an animal, you know, and be erratic and loud. With cats, I'll kind of go like meow, meow and make a little meow sound at them. And that usually kind of perks their attention a little bit, like, oh, okay. And then with dogs, just a nice calm voice, usually not direct eye contact, that kind of thing, just because that can be intimidating.
Those are good tips. Thank you. So yeah. Let's see. Kevin is calling in from Rockland. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
I'll tell you about my cat. One night I had a dream, and in my dream I was traveling on one of those European trains where you have your own compartment. But I had the door open, and a woman walked by and stopped and turned around and looked and said, "That's a beautiful cat. What is its name?" And I said, "Chaser," even though I didn't know that I had a cat on my lap. But I impulsively said, "Chaser." And when I woke up in the morning, I told my wife, she said, "Well, you need to get a cat and name it Chaser." I had always had cats when I was a kid. I got this beautiful Maine Coon and named her Chaser. And then my last name is Beers, Kevin Beers. And so my wife would say, "We're a couple of beers and a chaser."
Oh my gosh, that's quite a story. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that. I can't resist sharing some names that came in over Facebook because they are public broadcasting related. We have Shauna on Facebook with Beaker, named after the Muppet. Her brother was Professor Bunsen Honeydew. She's the trusty assistant. And then Katie's cats are named Bert and Ernie, two brothers adopted from Midcoast Humane Society in Brunswick. We traveled from Kittery to adopt them. They are already named, and frankly, they fit them perfectly. And let's see, Elizabeth on Facebook named her cat Father Brown after the British TV show. And Jessie on Facebook with a picture of her two pigs, which were the only pigs we saw, I think. Nugent and Mrs. Pumphrey from James Herriot's All Creatures Great and Small. Gotta love that. Thank you. Let's try to squeeze in a little more. Let's see. Angela is calling in from Saco. Hi, Angela.
Hello. I wanted to share our cat's name. We found her in the woods in Livermore Falls a couple of Thanksgivings ago, and both my boys were playing saxophone and jazz band, and so they named her Jazzpur, JazzPurr.
Oh, Jazzpur.
And every time we'd go to the vets and we'd say Jazzpur, we'd have to spell it out for them.
That's fun. Thank you, Angela, for calling. We only have a few minutes left, so are there any of your other favorites that you didn't get to mention?
I think Snappa for Maine names is a really cute one.
Oh, the hot dog.
Yeah, and I think those are super cute. And I've also seen a Pinot and a Chardonnay as well. And so there are some drink-based names that go around as well.
That's great. And Alex, anything else you wanted to add?
I was just thinking, we didn't really mention color. I feel like a lot of the times people base names off of color. Like a black cat would be Shadow, whereas like a gray cat would be Ash, Asher, that kind of thing.
That's great. And,
or an orange cat would be after cheese, because orange cheese, you know, goes together.
And some names are kind of meta. This is from Becky. We had a dog named Names. It works surprisingly well as a dog's name. So there's that. And I think you mentioned a couple kind of meta ones. There was D-O-G, right? Is that what this?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they pronounced it D-O-G. And there was T-C, short for the cat.
Yeah. So people get very clever. That's great. And I have to, because I love hedgehogs, I have to squeeze in a couple of hedgehog names because we've been talking about dogs and cats. Let's see, on Facebook, I think we had, I've got to get this one right. There was Pincushion, who was nicknamed Fudgy. So there's that one hedgehog. And the other hedgehog was had a really long name and I can't find it. Let's see. I think it was Crumpet, something named for crumpets. So anyway, take a look. Oh, here it is. Sir Crumpet of Muffin Top. He was named by myself and a coworker who mentioned crumpets, and we were off from there. Crump and Grump. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Alex Francis is with the Bangor Humane Society, and Dr. Ai Takeuchi is with the Eastern Maine Emergency Veterinary Clinic. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Tomorrow on the show, we're talking about election issues, candidates, and campaigns. I'm Cindy Hahn. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.